Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I am your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, and the man who calls it right down the middle, Dion Tyre Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. Ja Morant, a.k.a. Ja Wick, a.k.a. Ja Wilkes Booth, a.k.a. the stupidest man on the planet right now, a.k.a. the man trying to fumble a $200 million bag because he wants to be an internet gangster, a social media thug. Demetrius, you make the worst life decisions. For instance, you got into an altercation at Foot Locker. That kid was only 17. You play in the NBA. You have a shoe contract. You have got to be the dumbest motherfucker I've ever seen. Demetrius, you make the worst life decisions. For instance, you told Malika Andrews, y'all good in the West. Boston, the only team that can give y'all fits. NBA playoffs. Memphis was a 2 seed. You lost to the Lakers in 6. Demetrius, you make the worst life decisions. For instance, you was up in Denver on IG waving a gun in the club. Your real name is Demetrius. You've never been a thug. You got in trouble, had to talk to the commissioner, told him it would never happen again. 2 months later, you're doing the same exact shit with your stupid ass friend. Demetrius, you make the worst life decisions. How does this happen again? 2 months after the fact, you were basically given a slap on the wrist, 8-game suspension during the regular season. Just don't do it again. Unprovoked, unforced, unnecessary errors on your parts. Superstar basketball player, $194 million contract, a Nike deal. They took away Kyrie Irving's signature sneaker and gave it to you. And here you are, twice in a 2-month span, acting a goddamn fool. And for what and for who? Who are you trying to impress? What is the end game? What is the goal? What's the target? What's the point? What is the desired outcome here? Who are you trying to impress? Why? What is the purpose? For what? I have so many questions. This has got to be the dumbest shit I've ever seen in sports history. Most people are trying to get into the NBA. Demetrius is trying to get out of the NBA. For what reason? I don't know and don't understand. For those of you living under a rock, Demetrius Morant, Ja Morant, was once again on IG Live, flashing a firearm. This time it wasn't on official NBA business. It was him and his homeboy Devontae Pack riding around the streets of Tennessee, Memphis, I would assume. And Ja had a firearm, and it was very visible, or, you know, it was visible enough for the camera to pick up on it. And this set off a firestorm of events. Controversy abounds. And Ja Morant once again finds himself in hot water. For what reason, I don't know. Self-inflicted wounds. Pardon the pun, you shot yourself in the foot. What a fool. What an absolute fool. Like I said, unforced, unprovoked, unnecessary. I don't get it. You know, when I was in the Navy, I had someone tell me, someone that I very much respect and look up to, a senior chief in the United States Navy. And for those of you who don't know, a senior chief is a high-ranking person, someone of seniority, someone of prestige, someone that's been in the Navy for at least 20 years, a very long time. I had a senior chief tell me, Gordon, common sense ain't always so common. That might be the best advice I've ever received. Truer words could not be spoken. Common sense ain't always so common. Clearly, Demetrius Morant lacks common sense. All-world, all-star, unbelievable NBA basketball player. Extraordinary athlete. top 10 player in the NBA right now, one of the best players in the league and on the planet, immense, scintillating, prodigious, awe-inspiring, amazing, must-see talent and ability inside the body of Ja Morant. However, common sense appears to be absent from the mind of Ja Morant because he is a fucking idiot. How do you do this again? They gave you a slap on the wrist the first time. This time you're not going to be so lucky. He's already been suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies from team activities. First of all, this is the offseason. As previously stated, you've already been eliminated from the NBA playoffs by my beloved Los Angeles Lakers in 6 games in the first round. You should be somewhere working on your jump shots. That's lacking from your game. All the athleticism in the world, but you can't shoot. You got to fix your game. You can't continue playing basketball like Jeff Hardy, diving off a ladder, trying to put someone through a table. Work on your game. Work on your jump shots. But instead of doing that, he wants to be NBA young boy. I don't understand it. I don't get it at all. And this is a trend for Ja Morant, a pattern of stupid, idiotic, nonsensical, asinine events. The altercation with a 14-year-old at a pickup basketball game at his house. The Foot Locker fiasco. The laser pointing incident in Indiana. The Denver nightclub disruption that happened earlier this year, back in March, that he got away with. And now this. So many people, in their reaction to this, keep saying the same thing, that Ja needs better friends. He needs better people in his inner circle. I said the same thing the first time I talked about this back in March, coming off the Denver incident when I gave my commentary on it. I said he needs better friends, better people in his inner circle. The Memphis Grizzlies as a basketball team need a proven, established, respected veteran. They need someone like an Andre Iguodala. Well, he was already there. He didn't want to be there. But they need someone like a Udonis Haslam. They need a vet on that team that can talk to these young brothers on that team, impart knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to them, and hopefully they might listen. They don't have that. They don't have a proven, respected veteran in that locker room. But beyond all that, the more I keep seeing dumbass behavior from Ja Morant, maybe it's not the people around him. Maybe it's just him. Maybe he is the problem. Maybe he is the issue. Ja Morant, for lack of a better term, for lack of better words, appears to be a walking nigga moment. I don't often use that word on this podcast, but when I feel like it's appropriate, I'm going to use that word. Ja Morant is a walking nigga moment. He can't stay out of his own way. He can't stop fucking up. And unfortunately, that's just how some of our people are. Some brothers are just that way. They can't stay out of trouble. They can't stop making mistakes until something catastrophic happens that either makes them wake up or they lose everything. And that appears to be the trajectory that Demetrius is on right now. He's on that path to lose everything. Nike is already talking about pulling his sneaker off the shelves. The last time he got in trouble for having a firearm on IG, he got an 8-game suspension. Based on the commissioner's reaction when it was brought up to him, when he was asked about it during the NBA draft lottery by Malika Andrews, based on Commissioner Silver's reaction, he said, "I was shocked to see that video over the weekend. He didn't appear to be very happy." Based off Adam Silver's reaction, Ja Morant is more than likely going to get north of 20 games suspended next season. I'm saying somewhere in the ballpark of 20 to 40. Now, a lot of folks out there, Michael Wilbon, the legendary Michael Wilbon of the Washington Post and ESPN for so many years, certainly one of the few people left at ESPN that I still have a lot of respect for. Michael Wilbon said he should be suspended indefinitely. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with an indefinite suspension or a year-long 82-game suspension. Number one, bad things seem to happen for Ja when he has a lot of time on his hands. If you suspend him for the entire season or indefinitely, all you're doing is giving him more time to fuck up and make mistakes. He needs the structure and discipline of playing basketball and being a part of a team. Because, like I said, he is his own worst enemy. He is a walking nigga moment. He needs to play basketball. 20 or 30 games, I think, is appropriate. You can't just ignore it. You can't not suspend them, because if you do, you set a bad precedent and you send a message to everybody else, the other 449 men in the NBA, that they can do dumbass shit like this and get away with it. So you can't do that. He has to be suspended, but I don't think a full season or an indefinite suspension is necessary. To me, that's a bit egregious. 20, 30, 40 games, to me, that makes sense. However, as is always the case, you got two different arguments. You got two different sides of the coin. You got some people out there that think, well, what he did was stupid, ridiculous, nonsensical. He should be suspended. He should be given some punishment for this. And then on the opposite side, on the other side of the fence, you got some folks who say he didn't break any laws. Tennessee, where he was at, is an open carry state. You don't even need a permit in the state of Tennessee, I think. He's not a felon. He's allowed to own a firearm. He didn't shoot anyone. He didn't break any laws. He wasn't even on official NBA business like he was the first time in Denver where he was on a road trip. So technically, he didn't break any laws. So what is the problem? Well, people who say that, and this is going to come across in a fucked up way, and I don't care. People who say that more than likely have never had a real job of consequence before. They don't know, they don't understand what it means to represent a company, a business, some kind of entity where public relations and publicity matters. They don't know what that is like. If you work the front register at Burger King or McDonald's, you can do shit like that. You got nothing on the line, nothing at stake. There's no urgency to what you're doing. You can do whatever the fuck you want in your spare time. If you get fired from Burger King, all you got to do is go across the street and go work at Taco Bell. It's no big deal. But Ja Morant is not just a basketball player. Ja Morant is an employee of a multi-billion dollar corporation, and he represents another multi-billion dollar corporation within the framework, within the confines of the bigger multi-billion dollar corporation known as the National Basketball Association. And also, and a lot of people don't know this, and Kenny Smith pointed this out last night on Inside the NBA, every NBA basketball player has what's called a morality clause written into their contract. A morality clause gives the athlete's team, league, or company paying the athlete to endorse its products the right to terminate a contract or otherwise punish a player who engages in criminal or unseemly behavior. Unseemly behavior. Now, if a guy is riding around in a car in broad daylight, out in public, brandishing a firearm in a very cavalier, relaxed, willy-nilly way, the way that he was, and doing so coming off a string of events that demonstrated poor behavior and a clear lack of self-awareness and just poor decision-making, I would define that as unseemly behavior, and that is a violation of the morality clause. So therefore, he is subject to lose money, to be suspended, to be in trouble by the NBA laws, and it's written into the collective bargaining agreement. The players' union agreed to this. He can't even fight it. There's nothing he can do about this except stop doing stupid shit. That's the number one thing he can do. Stop doing stupid shit. It's not even hard. It's that simple. As I said earlier, I spent 4 years in the United States Navy. I've said this before on numerous podcasts. I spent 4 years representing the United States Navy. And in the Navy, no matter what you do, off work, on duty, off duty, in uniform, out of uniform, it doesn't matter. You're always at work pretty much. You're always representing the United States Navy. You can go home on leave. You can go back to your hometown, wherever you came from, completely away from the Navy, not on a ship, not on a base, not on any type of military installation at all. You're at home on leave, back at your favorite bar, whatever, at a restaurant, at a cookout, a kickback, whatever. And something happens and you find yourself in the middle of a fight. You get into a bar fight. You end up knocking somebody out or someone knocks you out, whatever, but you got into a fight. Not only are you subject to local law, the police are going to intervene. You get arrested. You get taken in. You're behind bars. Someone got to come bail you out. You got to deal with that. But you also got to deal with the Navy and whatever punishment they feel like is appropriate for you. You're going to lose money. You're going to be reduced in pay grade. You're going to lose rank. You go from being an E5 to an E4, maybe an E3. Anything can happen. No matter what you do, it's going to be reflective of the United States Navy. You're never really off work. It doesn't matter. You go back to the barracks. You're drinking. You're hanging out with your buddies, your shipmates, as they called it in the Navy. And same thing. A fight breaks out or you get too drunk and do something crazy and ridiculous. You pull your dick out. You assault somebody. You vomit all over someone's car. Whatever. You're going to be in trouble. When I was in Japan, my first 2 years in the Navy, I was stationed over in Atsugi, Japan. When I first got over there, we had a curfew that dictated that no American service personnel, regardless of military affiliation, could be out in public on the streets between midnight and 5 a.m. The reason why that curfew was initiated was because sailors, airmen, Marines, soldiers kept going out in town and doing dumb shit and fucking up and getting in trouble. All of that makes the United States look bad and makes the United States military look bad. This is a black eye. This is bad public relations. We don't want this. We want good PR. We want to maintain our friendship with our Japanese allies. So whenever a sailor decides to get a little bit too inebriated, a little bit too intoxicated, have one too many White Claws and go out in town, go out into Yokohama or Yokosuka, Japan, wherever, and drink a little bit too much and then break into a Japanese elementary school, take off all their clothes, lay down on the floor and begin masturbating, and then pass out and then be found at 6 a.m. the very next day by a Japanese school teacher. And yes, that is a true story. I didn't do that shit. Someone else did that shit, but it's a true story. That really happened. I'm telling you in full authenticity, that really happened. Someone really did that. They broke into a Japanese elementary school, took off all their clothes, started jerking off, started flogging the dolphin, saluted the ensign, five-knuckle shuffle right there on the ground, completely knocked the fuck out, drunk off their ass, butt-ass naked, covered in jizz and their own vomit. And then a Japanese school teacher came in and caught this motherfucker on the ground. They called back to the ship and say, "Hey, one of your sailors is laying on the floor of my classroom covered in semen and vomit with his hand on his dick. Come get him." When that happens, that's a bad look for the Navy, for the military, for the United States. And that guy got kicked out the Navy. He was off duty. He was out of uniform, but still he's representing the United States Navy. Therefore, he must be punished. That's how shit like this goes. Your actions, in uniform, out of uniform, on the courts, off the court in the case of Ja Morant can directly lead to you losing money, being terminated, your life being fucked up. So therefore, don't do stupid shit. Doesn't matter if you're a superstar NBA basketball player with a Nike contract and a $200 million contract from the team you play for, or an E3 in the Navy making about $800 every 2 weeks and eating cold grilled cheese sandwiches on raisin bread for dinner. It doesn't matter if you misrepresent the entity, the company, the organization that you work for. There will be consequences and repercussions. It's not going to end well for you. So therefore, the moral of the story is stop doing stupid shit. Ja Morant, get better and do better before it's too late, because the trajectory that you're on is not good. And I hope it doesn't lead to anything catastrophic. Something else that wasn't talked about enough, a point that I don't think was made at all. We're talking about a black man riding around with a firearm with another black man in Tennessee. Now, who's to say if a redneck racist ass cop in Tennessee doesn't pull them over and is someone that doesn't watch basketball and doesn't even know who Ja Morant is completely unfamiliar with who he is and what he does for a living, and decides, you know what, I'm going to turn this routine traffic stop into a crime scene because I'm going to turn off my body cam and I'm going to fire about 8, 9, 10, 11 warning shots into his chest. And then next thing you know, you got the hashtag RIP Ja Morant trending on Twitter. Next thing you know, you got breaking news notifications on your phone from ESPN about basketball star Ja Morant was gunned down during a traffic stop in Memphis, Tennessee. Because, I mean, let's be honest, they had a gun on them. All the cop has to say is, well, I felt threatened. I felt like my life was in danger. They had a firearm. I thought they were going to start shooting at me. I thought they were going to fire on me. So it was either me or them. I got to go back home to my family. Isn't that always the excuse every single time some redneck chicken shit peckerwood douchebag cop decides to kill a black person? You got unarmed black people in this country that get killed for the same reason. You got a brother like Stephon Clark out in Sacramento, California, a couple years back that was shot and killed by a police officer. And the officer said, I thought he had a gun on him. It turned out it was his cell phone. Stephon Clark had no weapon on him. He had a cell phone, but the cop thought it was a gun and feared for his life, had to protect himself, quote unquote, protect himself, and decided to empty the clip and kill this young brother in the backyard of his grandmother's house. These kind of things unfortunately happen. So Ja Morant, on a number of levels, you are playing with fire. Do better and be better. Speaking of people that need to do better and be better, the Philadelphia 76ers, oh my God, what a complete disaster. What a complete joke. A public humiliation took place on Mother's Day of all days in Boston, Massachusetts. I said on the previous podcast, Game 6 was the perfect and really the only opportunity that Philadelphia had to close out and win that series. Game 6 at home in Philadelphia in front of all those mouth-breathing, cheesesteak-eating Philadelphia fans. You're at home. You got a chance to close this shit out. The last thing you want to do is go back to Boston. You stole Game 5. Game 6, close it out. Move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. But no, the 76ers are a bunch of failures and choke artists and losers, and they have what I like to call the Bermuda Triangle of Failure. Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, and James Harden. The Bermuda Triangle of Failure. Three people that collectively and individually fail all the time in the NBA playoffs. And the Philadelphia 76ers, in their infinite wisdom, thought it'd be a great idea to put all three of these people together at the same time. Are you kidding me? You can't be serious. Three losers together and you expect to win? Nah, man. It was never going to happen. There was no chance in hell. Vince McMahon theme song. No chance in hell. Final score, Boston 112, Philadelphia 88. The game was close. Third quarter is 58-55 with about 10:49 to go in the third quarter. And then next thing you know, Boston goes on a 35-10 run to close out the third quarter. The game is over. The game is over. It's done. It's a wrap. It's cooked and glazed. Stick a fork in Philadelphia. They're done. As Dandy Don Meredith used to always say on Monday Night Football back in the day, turn out the lights. The party's over. You're done. It's a wrap. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. Your alleged fraudulent bullshit MVP, Joel Embiid, who whined and cried and politicked and bitched and moaned all season long about winning the league MVP. Congratulations, you got what you wanted. You are the 2022-2023 NBA League MVP. Now, in the playoffs, you got to show and prove, but you've never done that your entire career, Joel Embiid. As a matter of fact, the numbers bear that out. You average about 7 points per game less in the postseason than you do in the regular season. In game six in the fourth quarter, you were a ghost. You were non-existent. You might as well not even have been out there. Someone was on the court wearing an Embiid jersey. I'm not sure if a soul was inside that jersey. There was a body, but I'm not sure if a soul or a heart was inside of that body. Just skin, bones, and a lot of fat was out there running around lethargically, leisurely, methodically, maneuvering up and down the courts and not giving full effort and not being very efficient and effective and not getting anything done. And then that translates to game seven. He's abysmal in game seven. The league MVP, the league MVP scores 15 points in a game seven. His sidekick, the Robin to his Batman, the woefully inept, especially in the playoffs, James Harden scores 9 points. James Harden scored 9 points in game seven on Sunday. PJ Tucker, who's never been known for scoring, a specialist, a corner three shooter and nothing more on offense. A great defensive player, tough, gritty, hard-nosed, but offensively speaking, all he can give you is a corner three occasionally, every now and then. He scored 11 points. James Harden, future Hall of Famer James Harden, but perennial playoff failure James Harden gives you 9 points. Turns the ball over a number of times. Bad decisions being made. Stupid basketball. How many times did we see James Harden drive to the basket, look like he had a clear layup, a clear direct path to the basket, but he kicks the ball back out to the perimeter? I hate the way people play basketball nowadays. That's stupid basketball. He's turning down shots. Is he afraid? Is he scared of the moment? Meanwhile, on the other side, in green jerseys at home, by the way, which I find fucking ridiculous for the Boston Celtics to be wearing green jerseys at home. That's a different story. But Jason Tatum, who was 5-for-21 in that game six, not only does Philadelphia lose game six and the opportunity to close out this series and finish it and move on, but Jason Tatum stinks the joint up in game six. He couldn't throw it in the ocean. He's 5-for-21, but he gets hot in the fourth quarter. He scores 19 points in the fourth quarter, 16 of his 19 points in the fourth quarter, and Boston wins the game, and then that carries over to game seven. He goes for 51 points, and a lot of those points came while being guarded by Joel Embiid. A virtuoso performance by Jason Tatum. An iconic, generational, transcendent performance by Jason Tatum. And on the other side, for the Philadelphia 76ers, two-thirds of the Bermuda Triangle of Failure combined for 24 points. Tatum by himself, 51. Harden and Embiid collectively 24. The other third of the Bermuda Triangle of Failure gets fired a couple days later. He gets scapegoated. They blame him. It's his fault. Listen, it's been well documented, the failures of Doc Rivers in the playoffs, especially in game sevens. It's not a good record. 6 wins and 10 losses to be exact. But in this particular instance, for this playoff series, I do not blame Doc Rivers for this loss. As a matter of fact, I give Doc credit. Philadelphia had no business even reaching a game seven against a much superior Boston Celtics basketball team. If all you do is take the names of the players on both rosters and write them down on a piece of paper and just go player for player, Boston is the better basketball team. Boston, realistically, this series should have been over in 5 games. It should have been 4-1 Boston moving on. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Should not have even gone 7 games. They are the better basketball team. From a personnel standpoint, it was a mismatch. It really had no business going a full 7. A lot of people will say, well, Doc Rivers could have made adjustments. What adjustments? Based on the personnel he has, what adjustments could he have made? Philadelphia has a bunch of guards that are about 6'2", 6'3". De'Anthony Melton, Tyrese Maxey. These are good basketball players, but they're small compared to Jaylen Brown at 6'6", Jason Tatum at 6'8", 6'9". These guys can rise up and shoot over Melton and Maxey whenever they feel like it. Now, some people might hear that and say, well, Jason Tatum struggled the majority of the series. He was getting good looks. They just weren't going in. But in game six, in the fourth quarter of game six and all of game seven, they started going in. But what adjustments was Doc Rivers supposed to make? You know what the adjustment is? Your star players got to play better. Your former MVP and your current MVP got to play to a standard, and they didn't. They sucked. They were garbage. They were trash. They were both the drizzling shits in game seven. They combined for 24 points. That's why you lost. And Doc Rivers got fired for that? That's completely, to me, that sucks. I don't like that at all. That sucks. That's garbage. That's ridiculous. I don't think Doc should have got blamed for losing in game seven. It's on the two superstars. And let's face it, man, James Harden never really got along with Doc Rivers. When he was asked about his relationship with Doc Rivers in the postgame, in the immediate aftermath of the Game 7 collapse, he said, it's okay. Our relationship is just okay. That's not exactly a ringing endorsement. It's not really a vote of confidence. And everyone knows how tight, how close James Harden and Daryl Morey are. The general manager for the Philadelphia 76ers, Daryl Morey, in my opinion, he should have been the one to get fired. He put this team together, this team that was deficient in personnel. Tobias Harris? You chose Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler a couple years ago? All this talk about trust the process in Philadelphia? What process? The process of elimination? What process are we talking about? All the draft picks, all the tanking to get high lottery picks, to get Joel Embiid, to get Ben Simmons, to get Markelle Fultz, all the losing on purpose to get these high-level draft picks, and what do you have to show for it? I realize not all of that is Daryl Morey, but still, it's an organizational failure in Philadelphia. The whole strategy of trusting the process led to being eliminated in second rounds of NBA playoff series every single year. Consecutive years, their season ends in the second round of an NBA playoff series. And Daryl Morey's been here for the past couple years, and he chose to appease James Harden by firing Doc Rivers. And to me, that's unacceptable. That's garbage. I don't like it at all. Especially if the rumors I'm hearing are true, that they might bring in Mike D'Antoni. Dear Lord, if you know a Philadelphia 76er fan, pray for them. You're going to fire Doc Rivers to bring in Mike D'Antoni. You're going to fire one career playoff loser to bring in another perennial career lifetime playoff loser. At least Doc Rivers can say he has a championship on his resume. Mike D'Antoni can't say that. At least Doc has that going for him. 2008, he led a team to a championship. Mike D'Antoni has never done that ever. How many opportunities has Mike D'Antoni already had? Phoenix, Los Angeles Lakers, New York Knicks, Houston Rockets. He's had four different opportunities to be successful as an NBA head coach and failed all four times. It's the same exact result as Doc Rivers. You're going to be good in the regular season. You're going to win a bunch of games, and then you're going to flame out in the playoffs. He doesn't even believe in playing defense. His whole strategy, his basketball approach is basically, let's just go out there and do our thing, and we're going to outscore them. And at the end of the game, we're going to have more points than they will. If we just play fast and put up a bunch of shots and take a bunch of threes, we're going to outscore the other team. It doesn't work. Four times, it didn't work. And he should get a fifth opportunity? You mean to tell me there's no, like, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, wet behind the ears, breath smelling like Similac assistant coach in the NBA that should get an opportunity, that can get a shot, that can get a chance to prove themselves? Even if you want to go in the direction of hiring another retread, another former coach, you can get someone like Monty Williams, who was fired from Phoenix a couple of days ago. He's at least been to an NBA final. You can go out and get Mike Budenholzer, formerly of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's a championship NBA head coach in 2021. You can go out there and get Nick Nurse, formerly of the Toronto Raptors, who won a championship in 2019. There's other guys you can get, even if you want to go that route of bringing in a veteran head coach with experience that's been around for a long time that you think that somebody like Joel Embiid is going to listen to. You can get somebody that's actually been to an NBA final. D'Antoni's never even gotten that far. Doc Rivers has been to two NBA finals. I know the popular in vogue thing to do is to shit on Doc Rivers, but in this instance, in this case, in this particular playoff series, I'm not going to do that. From a personnel standpoint, it was a clear disadvantage, a clear mismatch. Philadelphia's got a lot of guys that only specialize in doing one thing. The further you go in the playoffs, you need more versatility. It gets harder with every round you go into. Your team has to be a little bit more malleable if you want to proceed and advance in the NBA playoffs. If you're seeing a team for seven games, film study is going to happen. They're going to watch you and look at your tendencies and figure out what you do well and what you don't do well. And they're going to take away what you do well and exploit what you don't do well. Philadelphia, from an offensive standpoint, only does high screen and roll because of James Harden. Harden can't do anything else, or at least he doesn't want to. He's not going to play without the basketball. He has to have the ball in his hands. He's not coming off a screen. He's not going to set a screen himself. He's not going to roll to the basket or cut a backdoor cut or whatever. That's not his game. That's not who he is. It's ISO ball with him. We've seen this for the past decade. It's him at the top of the key, dribbling the air out the basketball for about 20 seconds of the shot clock. That's who he is. And he's currently 33 years old. He'll be 34 next year. He's not going to change. It's not going to be any different. This is who he is as a basketball player. He's not going to change or adapt to anything else. So that's why I scoff at the notion that Doc Rivers should have made more adjustments. I don't know what else he could have done. And to add another layer to this story and a further illustration of how much of a complete dumpster fire the Philadelphia 76ers are, apparently James Harden is going to opt out of his contract. So Daryl Morey fired Doc Rivers to please James Harden, and he's opting out of his player option of about $33 million, which I think is insane because at this stage of the game, at this point of his career, coming off that dreadful, atrocious, pitiful Game 7 playoff performance, and really, other than games 1 and 5, he was awful for 5 out of 7 games of that series. His age, his reputation, and what he's asking for, or what he's delusional enough to think he still deserves, who the fuck is going to pay him a max contract going forward? Is Houston going to do that? If they do, they're idiots. Who's giving James Harden $40 or $50 million per season? Who is that dumb? Who is stupid enough to do that? To give this guy a 4-year deal, about $40 or $45 million per season, Who is that bereft of intelligence? Who's doing that? I don't know. You got to be a sucker at this stage of the game to give James Harden that much money. If he was smart, if I were James Harden, I would opt back in. But then again, somebody somewhere is probably going to be that stupid and acquiesce to his contract demands. A dumb team like the Washington Wizards, someone stupid like that might give him $40 million, $45 million a season. Especially a team like Washington. No one gives a fuck about the Wizards. They need to sell tickets. You need somebody that the fan base might want to come out and watch in our nation's capital. So, I don't know, maybe a dumbass team like Washington might give James Harden the money he's looking for, but anybody else? I seriously doubt it. And this guy said he wants to play for a championship contender. If I'm a championship contender, I'm not even going to touch James Harden. The physical limitations, his weight being out of control, he may or may not be in shape, his age, his style of basketball, he's declining anyway. All of those things are going to be factored in. And me personally, if I'm running a basketball team, I want nothing to do with James Harden whatsoever. So Philadelphia right now is a complete debacle. That basketball team is in shambles. Joel Embiid is going to be 30 next season. Quiet as kept. Doesn't seem like it, but Joel Embiid will turn 30 next season. We're talking about a guy that seems to always be injured this time of the year. Some people might use that as an excuse and say, well, Embiid had a bad knee. He seems to always have a bad knee this time of year because he's mostly out of shape. He's usually out of shape and trying to play basketball. A conversation is going to have to be had in about a year or two about, if you're Philadelphia, do you even want to keep Joel Embiid or just let him go and blow the whole thing up, start all over again, start the process all over again. Trust the process of elimination. It hasn't worked. It didn't work. It's probably not going to work. To me, doesn't even matter who the head coach is in Philadelphia. It can be, you can go out and get Phil Jackson. It can be Greg Popovich. You can resurrect the corpse of Red Auerbach. It doesn't matter. They're probably going to lose as long as they got James Harden and Joel Embiid. It doesn't matter who the head coach is. Two perennial playoff lifetime losers. Neither man has a game that translates to the playoffs. When things slow down and get more difficult and more physical, and neither man enjoys working out on a regular basis, and they both struggle with staying in shape. As long as you got Embiid and Harden, good luck. You're probably not going to win, and that's just what it is. And with all of that being said, this concludes this edition of the Deion Gordon Podcast. Eternally grateful, always humble, and very much appreciative. And remember, Ja Morant, especially, if you're listening, my friend, I told you this before. I'm going to tell you this one more time. All right, this is my last time telling you this shit. Ja Morant, tread lightly like a woodpecker with a headache. Until next time, picture me rolling. I'm out.